you, Miriam. That was tremendous. Was Mark, was that a Easter medley?
Yes, that was Easter.
That was Easter medley, okay. Want to make sure. All right, thank y'all. Good to see all of you here. I'm going to say that we jump right into it. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 31 through 39. As you know, Dr. May is out of town this week. As far as our Wednesday night schedule, he'll be back here in the pulpit next Wednesday night and continue through this month and next month. So look forward to that. And honored to be filling in for Dr. May while he's away this evening. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth or nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, as we come to this part of our Wednesday night service, Lord, we just pray that you'd give us insight into your word. Help us to apply it to our lives. I pray in the words of John the Baptist, I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Rachel Lampa is a contemporary Christian singer that has been singing and producing Christian records since the year 2000. Her latest hit single is called Perfectly Loved. For my introduction tonight, I want to read to you the chorus of this song. It goes like this. Even when you were running, even when you were hiding, there's never been a moment that you were not perfectly loved. When you barely believed it, when your eyes couldn't see it, every single moment, you've always been perfectly loved. These words are obviously referring to the perfect love of God. And what do we mean when we talk about God being a perfect God and the perfect love of God? Of course, we know from God's word that God is perfect. He's holy and righteous and without sin. He's all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful. He's an ever-present sovereign God, and he loves us because he is a God of love. God, love is his nature. That is one of his characteristics. And even though you and I were born into this world as sinners, certainly far from perfect, God loves us with a perfect love. Maybe you've been through some difficult times in your life where, as the song says, you barely believed it and your eyes couldn't see it. You just couldn't believe that God loved you. But as the song says, every single moment you've always been perfectly loved. When I think about my own life and how, as the song says, the chorus says here, there was a time in my life when I was running from God, when I was hiding from God. My life is similar to the story of the prodigal son. There was a time when I was in rebellion, wasn't living right, living the ways of the world. But I'm so thankful that even though I was living the ways of the world, God didn't turn his back on me. God didn't leave me or forsake me, as the Bible says. And I'm so thankful that there was never a moment that I was not perfectly loved. God loves each one of us with a perfect love. And we see here at the end of chapter 8, the book of Romans, we see here Paul talks about God's love. Let's talk about the context of this passage and give a little background to what Paul has been talking about here in the book of Romans. We know, of course, that this is Paul's letter to the church in Rome. He wrote this during his third missionary journey while he was in the city of Corinth. This letter could, or this book of the Bible could basically be divided up into two parts. It is basically doctrine and duty. It is theology followed by practice, or another way to say it, it is believing and followed by doing. And in the first three chapters, Paul talks about mankind's need to be saved. And a verse that is an example of that, Romans 3:23, he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then Paul turns a corner. He opens up talking about mankind's need to be saved, and then he begins to explain how God has provided a way of salvation. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So we see here in the first half of the book of Romans, mankind is lost, yes. But then he goes on to show that there is a way to be saved. There is a provision for salvation, praise the Lord. And then here at the end of chapter 8, Paul comes to the end of this, talking about man's need for salvation and explaining the provision of salvation. And then here he comes at the end of chapter 8 and talks about how we can be sure, we can have assurance of that salvation because of God's love. So the title of our lesson this evening, Perfect Love, Perfect Love. Notice three things here in this passage. First of all, notice the protection of God's love. Look at verse 31 through 34. So he says here, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who even is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." So we see here Paul asked a series of questions, rhetorical questions, not really seeking an answer, but asked these questions to make a point. He is wanting to emphasize the total and complete security that we have in Jesus. Verse 31, it says, "Since God is for us, who can be against us?" Remember now, the context is the subject or doctrine of salvation. He's just explained how there's a path to be saved, how lost person become a saved person, how the unrighteous can become righteous. So that is the context of this question. If God is for us, who can be against us? There's nobody greater than God, so there's nobody that can take away our salvation. Then verse 32, "If God gave his own son as a sacrifice for our sin, then the logical conclusion would be that he would give us all that we need in life." Verse 33 and verse 34. Is there any person, is there any angel, is there any demon, he asks here, that can accuse us or condemn us as God's children? The answer is obviously no. And we see the reason there in verse 34. I like to part right here and break down verse 34. And we see here the protection that we have, the protection against condemnation or being charged as guilty. There are three ways that we're protected as God's children from condemnation. First of all, this is not in your outline, but first of all, we're protected by the crucifixion of Jesus. There in the first part of verse 34, he says, Paul says, it is Christ that died. You see, we know, of course, the Bible teaches that because of our sin nature, we deserve judgment. Because of our sin nature, we deserve God's wrath. In our sinful condition, we are condemned to die. In our sinful condition, there is the right to condemnation. But he says here, it is Jesus, the sinless Son of God, who died in our place. Jesus willingly, voluntarily went to the cross and died in our place. And as a result of his death, there is now no longer condemnation for those that know him as Savior. If you've accepted Jesus as Savior, then no one has the right to condemn you. The Bible says, listen, here it is, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, the guilt and the penalty for our sins was removed at the cross 2,000 years ago. Amen? There is nothing or no one that can charge you or condemn you because of your sin. So we see here that we are protected by the crucifixion of Jesus. Notice also we're protected by the resurrection of Jesus. We're protected from condemnation. We're protected from being charged and declared guilty for our sins. First of all, because of the crucifixion of Jesus. And second of all, because of the resurrection of Jesus. Paul says there in verse 34, he says, it is Christ who died. And furthermore, that's not the end of the story, amen? And furthermore, is also risen. God's plan was that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only one who has a right to condemn us for our sins, is the one that went to the cross and died for our sins. As I said, that's not the end of the story. He was raised from the dead. After he died in our place, he was raised from the dead, and Jesus is alive, and we belong to him. Jesus said in John 10, verse 27 through 29, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has also given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So because of the crucifixion of Jesus, and yes, because of the resurrection of Jesus, there is nothing and no one that condemn us or declare us guilty. We see here there's another way that we're protected. We're protected from condemnation, not only because of the crucifixion of Jesus, not only because of the resurrection of Jesus, we're protected because of the intercession of Jesus. Look at verse 34 again. He says, it is Christ who died. Well, let's back up and read the question. Who is he who condemns us? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven and took his place at the right hand of God, and there even today, yes, he is making intercession for you and I. Hebrews 7:25 says this, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for him. You see, it is through Jesus we come to God through the finished work of Jesus. And Jesus lives forever. He lives for eternity, making intercession for those who accept him as Savior. So we're protected from condemnation. We're protected from being charged and declared guilty for our sins because of the crucifixion of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and the intercession of Jesus. I'm sure all of you have heard of the cleaning product scrubbing bubbles. You remember scrubbing bubbles? You probably used some scrubbing bubbles to clean your bathroom before. But do you remember the TV commercial for scrubbing bubbles from years ago? You remember that commercial, that little animated scrub brushes that are used in scrubbing bubbles, cleaning product to clean the sink, and they're swirling around in the sink and swirling around, and then at the end of the commercial, they go down the drain, swirling around in a circle. You remember that? What do they say? We do the work so you don't have to. Y'all were looking all holy on me, and I had to do that to lighten y'all up a little bit. That was their slogan. We do the work so you don't have to. Listen, my Wednesday night friends. We, in our sinful condition, we were condemned to die. We deserve hell. But Jesus did the work so we don't have to. We are protected from the condemnation that we deserve. His victorious death, his victorious burial, and his victorious resurrection protects us from the charge and the guilt and the penalty of our sin. So we see here, not only do we see the protection of God's love, but number two, notice the power of God's love. The power of God's love. Look at verse 35, 36, and 37. Notice what it says. Paul goes on here. He says, asking again rhetorical questions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And notice what he suggests here. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him, what? Who loved us. Paul asked these rhetorical questions, again, not really seeking an answer. The answer is obvious, but he's making a point, emphasizing his point here. As we said, God's love was demonstrated by the fact that he sacrificed his own son for our sins. Jesus willingly and voluntarily gave his life in our place. So now Paul continues, and he asks the question, is it possible that these things that he named here can come in our life and undo what Jesus accomplished on the cross? Verse 36 here, Paul quotes Psalm 44:22, to indicate that God's people will face trials and tribulations. How many of you know we all go through good times and bad times, amen? We all face trials and tribulations in life. But the question Paul is asking here, the point that Paul is making here, is will it separate us from the love of Jesus? I love the King James Version here of verse 37. Will it separate us from the love of Jesus? Can these things separate us from the love of Jesus? The most difficult things you go through in life, the King James Version of verse 37 says, nay, N-A-Y, nay. Maybe some of you may have a King James Version. You see it there. Paul says, nay, which means no. In all these things it says here, Paul says, we are more than conquerors. I'm sure all of you have heard of the Nike shoe company. Nike actually started in early 1960s as the Blue Ribbon Shoe Company. And they changed their name to Nike. I think it was in the early 1990s or so. I'm not sure about that date. But they changed their name to Nike. Nike is actually a Greek word that means victory. It's a Greek word that means victory. And it's and that Greek word is found several times in the New Testament. Here we see the phrase, more than conquerors, he says. More than conquerors comes from one Greek word. It's pronounced in English, hupernikemon, which has the word Nike in it. Huper means over and above. Nike means victory. And so together, it means over and above victory. As Christians, Paul says, even in these most difficult times, we are still more than conquerors. One of my Bible commentaries said that we are super conquerors. Look at it. He says, yet in all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, in other words, death, all of these things that we could possibly face in life, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors. But I want you to notice something. Notice the end of that verse. You and I are super conquerors. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors, what does it say? Through him that loved us. That perfect love. Through Jesus who loved us. You know, the Christian life, the Christian life is not to be lived striving to be a hero. We have victory, not because of anything we've done. And we can be more than conquerors, not because of anything we've done. But what does he say? It is through Jesus who loved us. So we see here, moving on, we see the protection of God's love. Number two, we just looked at the power of God's love. And number three, notice the permanence of God's love. The permanence of God's love. Look at verse 38 and 39. These are very well-known passages here. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us. Isn't that good? Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul searches the whole universe to see if there's anything that can separate us from the love of God. It is God's love that protects us from condemnation and guilt. It is God's love, the power of God's love, that makes us more than conquerors. And so we see here, there is nothing that exists. Paul searches the whole universe to see if there's anything that can separate us from that love. He goes to death, not even death, nothing there. He turns to life itself to see if there's anything that can separate us from the love of God, nothing. Angels don't have power, principalities. He looks at the present time. Is there anything in this present world? He finds nothing. He explores the future. In other words, things to come. There's nothing in the future that can separate us from the love of God. You know, I must say that we look at our society today. We look at the things that are going on in our nation today. And for myself, I just think, how in the world can it get any worse? We're in such rebellion and turned away from God. And the sin that is rampant in our nation is just beyond belief somewhat. And you wonder, how much worse can it get? How much worse will things be in our nation? But you know what? No matter how bad it gets in terms of spiritual bankruptcy of our nation, it's still not going to separate us from the love of God. Amen? So nothing in the future can separate us from God's love. He searches the universe. And we're going to finish up. We got to hurry. Notice he searches the universe, the expanse of space. He says neither height or depth. You could go to the deepest part of the ocean, or you could travel to the farthest place in space. In neither place will it separate you from the love of God. He says there's no creature, no created thing. There is nothing that exists that can or will separate us from God's perfect love. Never been a moment that you were not perfectly loved. Every single moment, even when you barely believed it and your eyes couldn't see it, every single moment, you've always been perfectly loved. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for Paul's scripture here that talks about your love for us, your perfect love. We thank you for the fact that your love for us was demonstrated by the death of Jesus on the cross. Jesus willingly, voluntarily died for our sins. Therefore, we don't have to face condemnation. No longer guilty because of our sin. We thank you for the power of your love. We thank you that there's nothing that can separate us from your love. Help us to be mindful of that this week as we approach Easter Sunday, the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Good night.